Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, how are you? This is Dubnai. Let's begin with the intro.
Singer, songwriter, musician, book author, intellectual, and podcaster. Here is Dubnai.
I know I have the intro usually come before I talk, but I guess I came out off record, so I introduced myself. That's where I'm at. I do podcasts periodically. I've been doing podcasts for a very long time. It's amazing that when I look around on the internet, so many people, millions of people are doing podcasts. When I first started doing podcasts, which was 2022, 2014, 8 years ago, there was hardly anybody who was doing podcasts. It just like was a new form. And I feel like I'm a pioneer in this situation, not necessarily the first one, but, you know, it's like it was so unknown to do podcasts 10 years ago, 8 years ago. But there were quite a few doing podcasts, but it wasn't known. So the situation as it is that it's a great thing to do. So I'm glad it's becoming more popular. Because when I started, you know, my approach was I was not, you know, I had a little radio experience. I did work as a DJ. One of my struggling days, what I call the really struggling days in Hollywood, I was in Hollywood. I got offered a job to work as a DJ, so I was on DJ for a little while. So, but that was not what I wanted to do. I wanted to sing in clubs, which I was doing. So that was where I was. And to do it now with podcasts, it was totally unexpected. Somebody, a friend, I would say, suggested I be on podcasts. They said, you know, after I graduated from college, they said, you know, they referred me to the podcast because it's public. You know, I got my MPA, and they said I should be on podcasts, you know, when I have time. And I said, oh, okay. They gave me this Blog Talk Radio, and I'm glad to be on. I've been on ever since. When I first started, I was acting silly, acting like a child. It was fun to be on podcast radio where people could hear me on the radio, but it became another art form besides what I've done. Because I've been on radio a very long time. You know, because the music I've been done so long, you know. The music is so important to me. Right now, I'm kind of in a funk with it because I'm taking a break, sort of, from writing songs and singing because I've done it so long. I'm going back to it, you know. So I've done it so long. It's a break going on for me. I have to play the keyboard periodically to keep my skills up and to keep my brain musical, you know, because, you know, it got to the point where if I just sing and joke around, a song come out, an idea for a whole song come out. I trained myself to be like that, you know. I could be singing and an idea for lyrics, the words, I sing out the words and then a whole idea for the song, you know, with the how the melody is going to come out, how it's going to be on the keyboard, how it's going to be on whatever instrument that I can imagine. And then that goes along with not just songwriting, producing, all that stuff comes out. And you know, I can't do that because I don't have no band, I don't have no producer. The guy I worked with for many years, also that I worked with on many demos, have left LA, so I guess he's not in business no more. So it's kind of like a blur. I'm on my own. So I've written songs on my own. I didn't want to play the songs that I made because it's like reminisce. I don't want to reminisce, but I want to move on to write original songs. But then again, you know, as I said before, being an artist, I struggled for years. So I'm taking a break. Is it burnout? I think I'm just taking a break. Burnout is one reason. I mean, my voice is there, but I just to rest it, you know, and to rest, you know, but I have to play the keys. I have to sing a little because, you know, I have to remember where I'm going. But it is pretty much a rest. When I start again, then I have to write a song for a copyright. So it's cost. I spent tons of money on copyrights. Well, anyway, the truth of the matter is that writing songs, writing thousands of songs that have never been copyrighted, and they're all over the place. I don't know what happened to more than half of them. Was a concern for me. I got 360 songs listed on Broadcast Music, BMI, and ASCAP. ASCAP got most of them because I put a publishing account, you know. It was because I was being hounded and I was being told crazy stuff that, you know, the thing is I was dealing with things that I should not be dealing with crazy, insane people saying that they took my songs or sampled it or whatever. And, you know, people don't want to hear that shit. I don't want to hear no insane, no mentally ill shit, no deranged shit. But it could be true. So I had, you know, I have two publishing accounts or companies that I own. So I'm not afraid to admit it because to protect my music. The situation as it is that when I see very big artists always going to court for ownership of music and so many lawsuits. Now, that is something I could be dealing with in the future or I should be aware of. So that's something important, but I don't think I should worry about it. Being a singer and a songwriter is something that's been a part of me since I was a teenager. When I was so different from what I was now. I was a totally different person. I was out there singing, playing, you know, and, you know, I was dealing with things I shouldn't be dealing with that affected me and my music. The truth is I never felt I was recognized for anything I've done, but that's the gamble I played to try to get in this business when I came to Hollywood. Anyway. It was very difficult, you know, very difficult undertaking, but I enjoy it. I enjoy creating. I enjoy being on stage. If I go on stage now, I would enjoy it. It'd be natural because I did it so many years. But because my music is out there and because of these podcasts, perhaps I'm getting, maybe people think I'm famous. I do not consider myself famous. I would say poor and famous. I mean, I'm just known on YouTube, you know. Yeah, my song's released, but I'm going to leave it there. But what I will leave is that, you know, with the attention, the little attention I get, if people are interested in me or my music or have any, curiosities, then do it directly or by online or something. Don't come around if you don't want to say anything. Because I think some people came around because of the attention with some of the videos or the music or the podcast. I mean, I don't want them looking at me and coming around like, oh, that's Dub. Stay away. You know, that's not something I want to deal with, okay? I want to deal with people directly. You know, directly, people mind their business, and we live in homes. You know, we do everyday life situations. You go move on, you go your own way. You move on with your life. I move on with my life. You stay out of people's business. That's what I want to deal with. You know, I don't want to be dealing with, and I should not be dealing with, insane people or nosy people. People don't mind know how to mind their business. And these people got mental illness, they're criminals, something wrong with them mentally. You know, wondering about where I'm going with my music, or worrying about what job I have, or what I'm doing in my life, or what I have, is none of their business. Also, something wrong with them. I don't want to deal with somebody like that, because that's a sign of somebody who's either got some trouble or dangerous or something. I don't want to deal with that. I already told you that I was dealing with people who said they were looking inside my property. They should not. They should not even talk about me. Something is wrong with them. I consider them dangerous. These people I don't know, too nosy or whatever. If I saw them a long time ago, I don't want nothing to do with them. Because they don't come around and talk to me directly, then I consider them dangerous. Something wrong with them. And, you know, these are strangers, pretty much. Strangers in general, if you're well, do not go up to other people who they don't know and start talking about them or start coming around or try to trespass or say, well, I'm going to do with my life, and et cetera, because that doesn't make sense. If you go up to a stranger and start harassing or whatever, then you must have some mental problem or something wrong with you. You shouldn't be living around people. You should be locked up, et cetera. Same thing if I knew this person from a long time ago, like say like from Buffalo, and they come out here without me knowing, being nosy. I don't want them around me either. These are not people I should be dealing with, or nobody should be dealing with who's well or law-abiding. Everyday life people who know how to deal with people, don't go up to people and get into other people's business or get into my business or what I'm doing or where I work. One person said there's a right way and a wrong way. I mean, that's crazy. It's no excuse whatsoever. If you're a fan or whatever, I don't want them around me. And that's dealing with stalking. Stalking is wrong. Okay. Nobody should be dealing with that, but they do have crazy people in the society. So I'm dealing with crazy people or dangerous people or people who are sick in the head. No, these are not people I would deal with on a daily basis. Nobody would. These people need to mind their business. What I will say is that, you know, as I said before, you know, I tweet about it a little, or if I say it before, they need the police involved. They need to go to a mental hospital. That's where they need to go. They should not be around anybody. And that's how you deal with people. I mean, whether you know them or not, you respect people. You go talk to them directly, and you let them be. Unfortunately, in this world, crazy world reality, there are people who don't understand that. That's why we have these stalking laws and we have all this stuff. And then, yeah, that's probably the price I pay for having a little fame on the internet, my videos on Vevo, having crazy people or people on the dark side come around. They need to stay away. And besides, I'm not really that famous, but that is my goal. I'm getting more famous. But I don't need all that, the dark side of it. Dark side of fame, dealing with stalkers or dealing with crazy people who don't know how to mind their business, or just, you know, as an everyday life person, dealing with people who simply cannot find a way to move on and deal with their own problems on their own, then that requires the police or somebody to get involved. They have to. These people don't have no capacity. They should not be around you or me. They are, I see them in my neighborhood and around. They gossip. These people, something is wrong. They don't have no life or something. They don't have a capacity. Whatever it is, their problem is, something is wrong with them. I don't need to deal with it. I'm not going to. Somebody needs to get involved to help them go to the hospital, whatever. When you do, you know, that's not my problem. That's not my problem. It should never be my problem. It's just basic common sense. These are people I should not and never should deal with. Is that where people got problems with their bigotry? And, you know, I don't want to deal with somebody who's got a mental illness, you know, to the conservative area, whatever. This ain't no conservative area, you know, saying things that ain't true. You know, this is a very open-minded Los Angeles. It's pretty much on the left side of the spectrum. They have Democrats all elected in this area. You know, we all know that, you know. Representatives, if you want a conservative area, go to, I mean, just in California, there's not too many conservative areas. There's Bakersfield, there's parts of Kern County, I guess, San Diego, but it's not Los Angeles. Los Angeles or San Francisco, even San Diego is going to be on the left side. I would say down Orange County, perhaps, but Orange County is still very liberal. It's got more liberal. If they like the conservative life, won't they go to South Carolina, Florida, I mean, Texas, Arizona? Those are places that's mostly conservative. But Los Angeles is always going to be on the left side. I'm a left person. This is where I belong. Yeah, I mean, even in Los Angeles, there's going to be people who are on the right, yes, or different beliefs. Or even if I was a different part of California, but this is a blue state, probably the bluest of the states, you know, Hawaii, Washington, Oregon. So that is the way it's going to be. So I don't want to deal with anything. I don't want to deal with any nonsense or anything that relates to somebody not understanding the reality of living among people, strangers, and people alike. You know, what I want to deal with is my music. And that's the way of a response. Continue to live my life. I can't let these naysayers, these dream killers, these whatever, get in my way of my dreams. I had to continue to do it. That's why I wrote that song. I want my Hollywood dream to come true. That's what the song is about. I want my Hollywood dream to come true. That song is like an anthem for all the people who come to Hollywood, millions, you know, come to Hollywood to want their dream to come true. The inspiration to be a singer, actor, a comedian, to be a movie director, wherever it is. You know, they came out here to make their dream come true, and many have made their dreams come true. So that's what I want my Hollywood dream to come true part two. Part two is that I made an original version where the part one of Hollywood dreams, I want my Hollywood dreams to come true. That's the name of it. Again, the title of the original, the part one version is I want my Hollywood dreams to come true, part one. It has a different melody. I think I'm going to release it, but we will see. It won't be in the studio. It's just me playing on the keyboard. I play it all the time. But it's got the same words, and part of the melody on the keyboard is on part one, the first version, is on the second version. But the second version is more in the studio, and I made that. It was released last year. A video was released last year. It's been released. and you know, it's me singing. I sing in a different, a little bit higher key. So, you know, with somebody who I work with quite a lot, who's no longer in LA. So I had to, you know, on my own. So I do it in my home. You know, COVID was the reason why I played the keyboard in my home. So I played all these versions of different songs. We will see. Again, I also had a song that I was not sure about releasing. But, you know, it's called Struggle. I told you about Struggle. It's a hard rock song that I did a long time ago. I was so different. I can imagine, it's like, when I say different, it was like a totally different person, you know, I was in those days. It's like I, mindset, everything. I mean, I was wondering where I was, but that's when I first came to Hollywood. And I was in the hard rock music, not just pop. It was, I got into hard rock because I had so many issues. So many difficult undertakings and so much struggles that, it led me down that path. And, you know, life itself. When people will look at me now and say, oh, you cannot be in hard rock, but they're going by image or by color, and it's like, music is universal. It doesn't matter what your color is. And, you know, that's what it is. I'm going to give you a hint and play a little bit of it. You know, I want to play a little bit of it. So, let's see where I'm at. That song, I sung that in the Sunset Strip, and I'm going to tell you, I was in bands. I used to get in bands to be the vocalist at that time. I loved it. I sung it in the Sunset Strip. We tried to sing it on stage. Then I had to, there were times where I was alone, and I went to Sunset Strip, and I had a background CD, and I played it with just the music, and I sung over it. You know, so that was good, singing it at the Rainbow Bar and Grill, and we're singing at the Coconut Teas, singing it at restaurants and some other places near the whiskey. It was such, I sung so many places. When I sang it, somebody said that I blew them away because I was singing it, and I was doing all those really high notes and long notes. I guess, you know, when you hear it in the studio, you hear me sing, and how the way I sing in person, perhaps I sing, I'm totally different. You know, it's a situation that it is. But that was where I was in those days. I was an aspiring hard rock singer. I was aspiring, a rock songwriter, and I was so different. I was a waif. I was homeless. I was struggling, and I was on edge. Being on edge is from the homelessness, and, you know, just mind-blowing coming out to L.A. and not knowing anybody, but having so much ambition to make it. And I had to keep, you know, some areas where I was, I had to keep quiet about it. I felt, because people would think, oh, you have a, you know, it would be too much. People wouldn't believe that I was into stuff like that. But that was a song I written, helped write. It was so fun to do all the instruments and stuff. And yeah, as with my pop music, as with my rock music, I paid it out of my pocket. So that's how much of determination. Making those demos, I felt, was a lot of money in those days. I had to get money by working hard to save up money. I couldn't afford. I think it was $600, $700 demos. That was so expensive for a poor person. And I still am. So I just, that was where I was. I was so numb. I was actually totally different. I was going through a lot of issues, but the rock music was my heart. So, you know, so that's what, so I may release that within the next 12 months. Yes. Yes, I may. Yes, but we will see. But what I release is that I want my Hollywood dream. That's the anthem for anybody who wants their Hollywood dream to come true. The Want My Hollywood Dream to Come True Part 2 deals with not only my struggles, it's a song about all the people who come out here to make it in Hollywood. It's people who go on American Idol who wants to make it. It's the people who go to New York City and want to make it as an artist, and they end up in Hollywood anyway because those who make it, so Hollywood is a big industry, you know. Acting, singing, you know. So those, you know, the Hollywood sign is a symbol of that dream, the American dream that I came out. It's a fantasy bigger than me and anybody else, but it's also a situation that can enhance my life by being able to work and be a part of that industry and make a living at it and doing very well at it and being recognized for my contributions. And that's what the song is about. Unfortunately, that recognition, hard work has not came, but I still believe that a dream can come true. So I hope that your dreams come true. And this is something, and this is what I really should be dealing with. You know, going for the dreams, my music, talking about issues and dealing with podcasts, and doing podcasts is something I should be dealing with. But what I should not be dealing with is nonsense, naysayers, things that don't pertain to what is truly, truly what is important. So as I say to you guys, go for your dream. May it all come true, like I hope mine's come true, because we all deserve to be happy. Good day, good night from Dev Nights.